That's right. It's NFL Australia. Here you go. That's right. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. You might know me from, I don't know, CodeBet. That's a good website. All your odds comparison needs. Betting analysis. You see, guys? Betting analysis now. What else? Fox Sports Lab NBA. NBA Australia. That's a good podcast. CodeBet Daily. Another good podcast. Either way, I'm all over the shop. I'm now here in Casa della Amor Studios in Lawn. Hanging out. Chilling, sweating like a priest near a preschool, I'll tell you that much, in the sweatbox studio. It is gnarly down here. On the other side of the iPad, he is routinely sweating up a storm up there in Thornbury. Or is it Northcote? I don't know where it lands. Either
Thornbury.
Way. Thornbury. The bloke is now 13-2. The tattooist is working hard, changing that one on his schlong. It is sometimes singing a band called The Ramshackle Army. He is the leader of Minshew Mania. He's my mate. He's your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Mate, we had Lane Johnson go down this week, so I've been just packing away the Christmas lunches, trying to step in for the offensive line for the Eagles this week, just packing it away. It's really weird. It's only like 5 o'clock here for us recording on after Christmas. So we're probably like more wide awake and more with it than we have been on an episode for the last two fucking months.
Definitely more awake, I'll tell you that.
Definitely
much.
Definitely more awake, yeah.
A few tins in us anyway, it works out. But I'll just tell you what, I actually just had my first sip of the, on the XPAs all afternoon, just had the old mate pale ale, the Moondog, and it's like, ooh, fruit, that's right. I guess I'm now not going to get scurvy. Right, week 16 is done. I'll tell you what, playoff picture. It's all shaping up, Gaz. You love that? I still hate my team. Jesus. Oh, they're the worst. I'm going to get into it later, obviously, but wow. Also, Comeback Central, again, this has been the year of the comeback, Gaz. I'm enjoying it. But still, we've also got a couple more teams that are clinching playoff spots. It's all getting chaos, and we'll wrap up all of week 16 for you and set up week 17, which is, it's feels slightly anticlimactic. I mean, we'll get into that, but there's like a couple of big sort of turnaround games here that will impact a couple of teams, but then week 18 is where all the actual fireworks are going to happen. It's absolute chaos. So
yeah,
it's a good
it's couple
literally
of a couple of games that mean absolutely fucking zero because everything's going to come down to week 18.
We've already got dead rubbers and it's like, we've got two weeks left. But the weird part is we've got dead rubbers, but then shit that matters in week, it makes zero sense, but we'll talk you through it. Anyway, episode 66 of NFL Australia, Gaz. Let's go. I'm not going to let anybody tell me that I'm not tough. Ah! I nearly got his legs, sir. Mr. Belichick, I nearly took out his legs. Sir. Ah! This is Mac Jones, and you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, guys. Look, I'm not proud of my quarterback.
Well, you did tell him to tackle some cunt last week. Let's be honest.
To be honest, not a guy trailing the play.
He must listen to this pod, mate. All you said was
I've said it before.
Some cunt.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Mac Jones, avid listener of NFL Australia, but not the trailer of the play there, Mac. Seriously, you got to stop Chandler Jones. You don't just stop, the other guy who's like maybe going to essentially chase someone down. But anyway, crazy week 16, Gaz. It feels like it went for about 8 weeks because we started back on Friday. And because of the Christmas Day games, but also their Christmas Eve slate, it's basically meant we've had 5 days of football across, the last six, which is rad.
My wife's loved it.
And I'll tell you what, it finished with a whimper today with my beloved Jazzy Herbs kicking the absolute bejesus out of the horrible Colts. But we also got some big news. Nathaniel Hackett didn't even last the season. Whoa.
15 weeks, 15 games.
Tell you what, it's one of those ones where you go, yeah, we've seen enough.
Yes.
They've just gone, nah. Nah, to be honest, I don't think this is going anywhere. So perhaps, Nathaniel, you might want to start looking for another gig, before the season's up. But I think the other big notice sort of out of this week was the cold games, guys. I'm not sure if you saw the numbers, but the averages of the games that were played outside on this weekend versus the averages of games that were played inside starkly different, my friend. Starkly different to the tune of, I think it was 18 points average per team outside, 27 on the inside. That's it's a big jump.
Yeah.
This is it.
That we is had a big jump.
Minus temperatures. That's minus Fahrenheit. That's pretty cold. It's like basically you're throwing a rock to some dude. It's like, hey, catch this rock. And you're like, I don't want to catch a rock. That's meant to be a football. Why are you throwing me a rock? It's like, well, no, that's a football. Oh, fuck, I'm dead. It was tough. But another tough one for this week.
Hey, bro, kick this.
Imagine having a punter. You're like, no, just kick this boulder. Oh, but I don't want to. Nah, fucking kick it. Just fucking kick it, you coward. Kick it 61 yards. The other big one is the Wilsons. It's like the Wilson sisters, the Wilson brothers, the Phillips sisters, whatever. But the Wilson sisters really, really, really struggled this weekend. Zach and Russell.
I think that's an understatement, Jimmy. I really think that that's a... oof.
They were not great. It was...
No.
Some of the...
No.
We'll get into it later within a year now, but it was like one of... I don't know. If you're going to take two games of bad quarterbacking, I don't know if you're going to top that. It was fucking atrocious. Between Rusty, Zach. Tough scenes. Anyway, Brady, he came back again.
We'll get into that. I don't want to go with that into too far because I'm sure it's going to come up multiple times. We're just dancing around the topic.
Brady came back again. 10 points down in that last quarter and saved the Tampa Bay season, which is just...
Jesus.
It feels like it should be a mercy killing at this point, right? Just pull the plug.
Barely enough.
And I'm not just saying that because I've actually got money that came out of nowhere. I'm like, fuck, hang on a second. I've got money on New Orleans to win that division. I'm still alive in that one. Oh, shit. Didn't realize it until New Orleans fucking kicked the shit out of who'd they beat? Cleveland, wasn't it, this week? And you're like, hang on. That's actually a bit of money. Cleveland, speaking of which, eliminated. You hate to see it. Yeah, I just
couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of blokes.
the best one I heard was like
in our notes. Sorry, go on.
That's all right. I'm just thinking there was a weird moment where it was like Deshaun Watson. It's like, are we sure that's just not Deshaun Kaiser out there playing for the Browns again? Like he's back, baby.
Yeah.
Deshaun Kaiser's back.
Yep.
Like you thought you got rid of me? Nah, I'm still here, baby. I'm still here. What's going on? It's like, all right, Deshaun. It's like, no, it's the rapey one. Anyway, you were trying to make a point.
Yeah, we did. We actually missed, as part of our notes, we missed the most important signing for the Cleveland Browns this week. They've signed Jake Paul. As in boxer Jake Paul. You know, internet celebrity Jake Paul. Because, like, if someone said to you, Jake Paul's going to sign with an NFL team to be, like, some sort of marketing ambassador, which team would you reckon that would be, Jimmy? It'd have to be the fucking Cleveland Browns, wouldn't it?
Probably not the one where it's like, well, we've got to do he's a bit rapey. Shit. He's our quarterback. Oh, he never got charged. Like, that's what happens when you pay.
Yeah. Let's bring on the guy who did the video in the suicide forest. Yeah, we'll bring in him because that couldn't bring any negative publicity.
I do like it though. It's like it's very much as like, I mean, how much worse could it get? Well,
hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Texans played spoilers. I enjoyed the shit out of that this week. You actually called. Well, you half called it. I think I didn't have faith. I didn't realize that Tannehill was going to be done for the season. I should have changed that pick. Should have changed half my picks this week. I should go back and check my code bet column.
Just
I
got those results. Creamed. Jesus,
it was the worst result of the year. But it was funny, like, watching that Tennessee-Texans game with the squid. You know how I do it. You know, I've got a couple of games on the big screens, but then I've got Red Zone. And the squid just loves just rattling off the team names, just basically based on the logos. So, Daddy, the Bulls are beating, what are they again? I'm like, that's the Titans. Oh, shit, they're beating the Titans. God damn. And... had a great moment. The Bills secured their third straight AFC East title. What else? Oh, there was another team. Atlanta were eliminated, I think, officially from playoff contention too. I think that might have been the only other team that was eliminated this week because the Rams are already gone. Cleveland, and it was... Oh, I think Indy... No, Indy would have been last week too.
Indy was gone last week.
So, yeah. So Atlanta obviously now out. So I don't know. To be honest, my New Orleans pick has still got a chance because they're 6-9. Nice.
Yep.
But otherwise, a bit of a shit show. I mentioned Mac Jones just ruining shit, trying to hurt people because, I don't know, just smacks of privilege, doesn't he? Anyway, AFC and NFC South, though, guys. I absolutely adore them. They're so bad. It is the worst. All of their games are just fucking chaos. It's great. It's great.
You can't pick for shit. Look, I just want to stay away from any game that is in division for these guys because it's fucking nuts. So what out of 8 teams, we have not a single one above 500?
No, it's in two divisions, all under 500. It's fucking chaos.
Yeah.
I love it.
Only, as you said, only a couple of teams have officially been eliminated. That's fucking nuts.
I mean, the Panthers winning that Lions game, like, we'll get to it in a second, but that was just, this is why you can't trust the Lions. Like, what are you doing? You can never do it.
No.
Really, it was all, it sort of all hung on that really strange Saints game, and you're just like, oh, okay, so they're just going to beat the Browns. The Browns are going to fuck up, and New Orleans are somehow still alive. But the AFC, Tennessee losing to the Texans, just how it always goes, right? It's just, what we've mentioned it before, right? Like how it's rock, paper, scissors in each of the NFC and AFC South. Like they all can beat each other. It just depends on the weird matchup, and that's how it goes. And we hit on this at the top, right? Jags, Titans, they both play games this week, Gaz, but neither of them matter because they play each other 100%. In week 18, and whoever wins that wins the division because that's the go-ahead for the fucking tiebreaker. And you're like, okay, sweet.
Yep.
So, I'm just saying, maybe pick against both those teams
pointless.
This week.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You got some other news?
Exactly.
What do you got?
I think you... Spoiler. I think I did and you didn't. Dude, I was about to go back in my run and say, I'm picking against both those teams because they got nothing to play for. And anyway. Old mate Wentz was back in for Washington.
I couldn't believe the Heineken got benched. But then you're like, watching that horrible fucking Commanders game, you're like, I'd bench him too. Oh, but... This is it.
Yep.
The Commanders, you just can't trust them. I mean, we'll get to that when we wrap up the game, but Jesus, that team is just it's just not good.
Yep. No. And then the rumor out this week that whenever I was like, is Kingsbury going to survive? Is he going to survive? Well, now they're talking close people to Kingsbury reckon he might just cut ties himself and go, no, you can't break up with me. I'm breaking up with you first.
That'd be the dumbest thing in the world.
Do one of those ones.
What are you doing, Cliff? You can't resign. Then they don't owe you your money, you dummy.
Yeah,
fucking up.
Pay out your
now a lot of his offensive schemes make a lot of sense. Let's get Trace McSorley to throw 30-plus times in his first ever start.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the same dumb fuck who's like, maybe I'll resign. It's like, Cliff, you realize you'll get paid out a shit ton of money if you just let them fire you, you idiot. Anyway.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. I'm running on to some quick injuries, the ones that matter. Fucking Tua concussed again.
Jesus.
Again. Right? I mean, this team has got it. Like, the Dolphins medical staff have got to take a hard look at himself because his play definitely declined after he went down. And, like, the whole internet was picking the play. Like, hang on. He turned to shit after that thing where he smacked his head on the ground.
Yeah.
Right? How are they... Like, why does this keep happening to this... Mate, it could be, you know... Those repeated concussions has got to take its toll, and CTE is a real thing. Anyway, Bengals, because they need some injuries on that offensive line. So Lael Collins has gone off, carted off with a knee. I haven't heard that. The last I heard was that they believed he'd avoided an ACL, but I haven't.
Yeah,
got the
avoided serious injury, I believe, but still looks like he's dunsky for
a while.
But that was. You hit it, right? It's just shit. That's the last thing the Bengals need. And they've played so well.
Offensive line.
And you're like, come on, man. Like, seriously, can't they just have nice things? Just the run is there. Exactly. The run's there. They've been so good. They're set up to knock it over. And you're losing dudes on your offensive line. It's just going to get fucked. God damn, I hate it. Exactly. Anyway.
Exactly. Your mate Chandler Jones went out with an elbow injury.
Max Big Brother.
So he was taken off and ruled out straight away. And then for my boys, Lane Johnson out with an abdomen that strain that is going to keep him out for the regular season. You know, just one of the top right tackles in the game. And then Avante Maddox, who was, funnily enough, his job was to cover CD Lamb. And when he went out, CD Lamb went fucking off. But we'll get into that, right? So, they're the main injuries that actually fucking mattered this week.
Your game was such a fun game this week, I'll tell you that much.
It was a good game. Much... Like, as someone who came on the wrong end of it, that I'll get to in a minute, it was still a fun game to watch.
All right, week 16 games. If you throw your mind back to Friday, you probably weren't paying a giant amount of attention. It was, December 23 here in Australia, hanging out. You're probably doing all your last-minute shit, trying to finish all your last-minute work. And, you know, if you hadn't knocked off by then, I certainly hadn't. We were trying to make sure that we got all the stuff for the paper sorted before Boxing Day so we didn't have to work on Christmas. We mostly succeeded, which is good. But anyway, like watching it as well, you're like, cool, we'll put Jags Jets. Oh, this is fucking horrible. Wait, this is amazing. What is Zach Wilson doing? Jesus Christ. Did someone shag his mum? Like, is this how? Why is he playing so badly? This is absolutely incredible vibes. I think when I hit on that Wilson's thing at the top, it very much felt like you had Wilson, basically two offensive lines and two teams just go, fuck this guy, actually. Like, seriously, just fuck this guy.
Yeah.
First, it was the Jets just going, nah, this guy fucking sucks. We hate him. Fuck him. And then obviously the same thing happened to Rusty later on. But this was one of the great displays of bad quarterbacking. The Jags did enough. Like, they were fine. Like, they didn't exactly blow the game open. It was cold. Yeah. It was outside. It was in New York, whatever. But it was just, like, they had that touchdown about the second quarter, and that was it. Like, there's no other touchdowns in this entire game. You had the boos coming down, like, in the second quarter for the Jets.
Yep.
The 87 people there who braved the cold in fucking sub-zero temperatures going, I hate this, I hate the Jets, but we could still make the playoffs. Fuck it, we'll go. And they're just like, hang on a second, this guy sucks. Fuck him. Boo. Like, dude, to be honest, I loved how much booing actually came from that very sparse crowd, and they were very vociferous guys, and it was well worth it because Zach Wilson played like fucking shit. That was incredible.
How often did you fourth string get required to come into a game and then
actually be fucking awesome.
Well, complete the pass. He ended up with the same amount of yards on less attempts than Zach, who was starting the game and started the season number one, like a first round draft pick.
So
he's fucking out of control. Fourth string. I don't even know who the fuck our fourth string is.
Chris Streeter.
Do we have one? I don't know.
Chris Streeter comes in. Joe Flacco is like, they keep showing him on the sideline. He's like, dude, I don't want to go in.
No,
like,
I don't want this.
I'm not starting.
Any part of this.
Motherfucker, do you know how old I am? It's going to take me an hour and a half to warm up. And in this cold, it'd probably take me a week and a half to warm up. So, like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Nah, just don't put me in. So Chris Streeter goes in. Like, Wilson had been just so bad. Like, he only had like one interception, right? And it was like a couple of sacks, but just, it was the decision making. It was the throws. It was genuinely one of the worst games I've ever seen a quarterback play. Like, he was just throwing the sailing fucking dudes. Just completely, there's like amazing clips of him completely ignoring Garrett Wilson wide open and like then waiting like a two Mississippi and then going, oh, fuck, I should throw it to him. And you're like, dude, what are you? No, seriously, what the fuck? But the misses, the decision-making, the reads, it was all horrible. And he gets benched. Streeter comes in, and you're like, oh, fuck, they might win this game because Streeter's like just a fucking shot of adrenaline in the ass. Here we go. I don't know where you get your adrenaline, Gaz, but that's where I get mine.
No, man, I thought it was pain in the heart, but that's me big from watching Pulp Fiction.
The problem was, they had that fourth down that was in the red zone, and they fucked it. And if they had scored then... I swear they win that fucking game. And Streeter was just awesome. Like, he's a bit shit. We all get it. But he was the key moment for him.
You're fourth string for a reason, right?
But the key thing for the Jets was he wasn't Zach Wilson. And that team just went, oh, fuck, he's not Zach Wilson. Let's go. Off we go. Yeah. And they were fucking rad. Anyway, so they lose. Jacksonville go to 7-8. And this is just another kick in the nuts for the Patriots, really, but the Jets losing again and just like the Jets shitting themselves down the stretch while the Pats just can't take any advantage of it because they're all so shit. real brutal. Yep. So, but Streeler was good. Handy. The Jets suck. The Jags, this is that moment where you go, I think their over-under for the season was 7.5. And, like, this is the reason, right? Like, Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson, I shit-talked it the entire time going, I can't see them quite going over, and it's, like, taking them to the very pointy end to maybe go over that. Yep. Peterson's just that good, and they've just sort of hit a nice point where, what, they beat the Titans? Oh, no, they played the Titans. They beat, like, a rash of teams, essentially, down the stretch where you're like, hang on a second, they're kind of laughing now. Off we go. But, yeah, they did beat the Titans 2 weeks ago. They beat the they won that crazy Cowboys game.
It's a dead rubber.
That's
it. That's what makes it a bit dead rubber, yeah.
So they win that crazy Cowboys game. They beat the Titans the week before that. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
They're still alive, and here this we go. So, true. Good job.
But it's something like it's Dougie P, the, you know, QB whisperer, finally working out how to unlock his guys. And they're coming right at the right time, right?
I think,
remember, beginning of the season, Etienne hadn't played any NFL football because he lost his entire fucking
season. Fuck, he looks good.
He's good. He does look good, right? And Dane Jones came on. He didn't have not as good as last week, obviously, but it's, he had the three touchdowns.
It's my beloved Evan Ingram, who's just crushing it like the last couple of weeks. And I'm a big believer in Evan Ingram. I've always had him on I think my last 3 years worth of fantasy teams. And, of course, I didn't start him the last 2 weeks because I'm a fucking moron, and here we are.
Yeah.
So,
well,
anyway.
Yeah, like, so you got to remember that under Dougie P, those tight ends for the Eagles put up, like, 110 catches in a season, right? Just straight out to tight ends, right? So... anyway, good times. So we shouldn't talk too long about the Jackson Jags because this game this week means fuck all.
The crazy part was, like, it is a playoff shape, right? Because that's basically an elimination game for the Jets. They're pretty cooked now, puts them behind the eight ball. Jags keeps them in the run, in the hunt for it. And the Titans losing as well just makes it so much fucking easy for them. Moving on to Sunday's games, Christmas Day. How was your Christmas, Gaz?
Yeah. You want to start with my game, do you? Just like outside football or with we'll start with my game.
No, no, we'll go what were the Sunday games? Let's start with Bills Bears. My Christmas was very much like, oh shit, cool. The squid's up. Mm. Wait, is he just going on the dunny? Did he just go back to bed? Did he just not realize that there's a shit ton of presents at the end of his bed and he's Santa sack? What the fuck? Shit, yeah. We got another 2 hours sleep, baby. Let's go. Loved it. Had the iPad on next to me watching all the games. I'm like, this is fucking great. So I watched a shit ton of those early games. Loved it. And then we sort of, you know, moved around across the families and I'm just like tracking all the games and having the time of my life. It was fucking awesome. You know. Nothing like a good hot Australian fucking Christmas. It was the exact opposite. Bills Bears.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Because 35-13, Bills kicked the fuck up. They ran over the top of them, right? And it was just like...
well, that's what I was going to say. It was when you were talking about cold games, out of games, they for once just went, you know what? We're just going to run the fucking ball and not with Allen. Just we're just going to actually put it in the hands of Singletary and Cook.
And Delvin Cook's and little just, brother.
And just go fucking bunter, right? And they did. And that's all they needed to do.
Yeah, it was like one of those...
touchdown to all Singletary, I can't talk today, Cook and Allen on the ground. Like, yeah, just drive it home.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where you're like, this is great for my Justin Jefferson most receiving yards because they're just not going to throw it to Stephon Diggs. So happy fucking days. And that's exactly what happened. But 35-13... my Bears bet of under 5.5 wins now hits. Happy days. Wow. And the Bills clinch the AFC East. Third straight year, which is one of those moments where you go, oh, yeah, the Pats haven't been good for a little bit now. Anyway, Saints-Browns, 17-10. Now, this game was stupid and shit. And more power to you for if you've watched any of it.
So, I barely watched any of it, Jimmy.
Saints came all the way back down in the second half. They dropped the two touchdowns in the third quarter and then just held them at bay the rest of the way. And there's like a fumble, I think, down the stretch. And you're like, yep, cool, nailed it. good job, Saints. I guess. Like, this felt like a Taysom Hill game from the outset. Like, this is the game that you just go, let's just get fucking weird and we'll just give the ball to Taysom Hill and we'll just see what happens. Yep. And that's exactly kind of what happened, right? So he and Kamara
Dalton
were good.
Was 8 of 15 for 92 yards.
It's stupid. It's an outdoor game for the Saints. It's fucking freezing. Like, these dudes play in, like, sultry weather the entire time. They go to Cleveland, like, what the fuck is this? And they just give the ball to Taysom Hill. But there was a massive sack, and there was, like, Njoku, like, he basically, there was two drop catches from Njoku and one of their other fucking receivers. I can't remember what it was. But that really sort of sunk the Browns down the stretch. And you're like, yep, cool, back up, boys. Saints win. Keeps them in the hunt. You love to see that because the NFC South is just chaos. So why the fuck not? Anyway.
This the Sean Watson thing, right? Like, we keep talking. Every week you think that there's been a little bit of a sign of him getting better. And you're like, this is going to be shit. Like, because I just kind of, no one wants kind of him to succeed. and then he puts up a performance like this, where he was, you know, 15 of 31 for 135 with a pick and no touchdowns. And you're like, yeah.
He just wasn't good.
Right. No.
He just wasn't good. That's the thing. You watch a game like that from Deshaun and you're like, I mean, I know that you haven't played for 18 months, 2 years basically.
Yeah.
But you did have training camp. You've been healthy this entire time when you've been, you know, suspended for 11 games. And you've now been back for 4 weeks and you just don't look good. Like, the best thing that ever happened to Deshaun Watson is Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
100%.
Takes the pressure off.
Because it's like, that trade was bad. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
This was the worst trade. There you go.
But could you imagine anyone in the Browns organization benching him at this stage?
Fuck no, and going, you know what? Can't.
We're just going to go back to Jake. The last 2 weeks, we're just going to see Jake Brisket. Come on, mate. You're giving you an audition. You're the one who put us in a position where we could have been okay. I mean, like, Chubb and Hunt ran so much better and had so much more space and were scarier before Deshaun came back.
Yeah. It's the weirdest part. And this is the thing where you go, if we just hadn't have like traded for him and given him all that fucking money.
Yep.
We'd be better. like substantially better. We'd have all of our draft picks. We would have been able to spend money elsewhere and we just would have been better than.
Yep.
All right. Meanwhile, 11 game suspension of fucking Deshaun. We would have just kept the brisket and he would have been fine. Or we could have just gotten somebody else. Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've got a guy who's been rejected by two teams, winning games in LA with a team that's completely fucking broken, and racking up a couple of wins, mate.
And we gave him away. Oh, yeah,
we gave him away.
He's the guy who took you to the playoffs. This might be like, to be honest, this should be a bit of an Outback Takehouse, but that's just football god karma. 100%.
Exactly.
So Baker Mayfield took us to the playoffs. Then we decided jack of him. Fuck him off. Yep. Off you go to Charlotte. Yep. Pack your bags, Baker. And then the karma gods of football just went, oh, I don't like that. Yeah. You barely ever made the fucking playoffs, Cleveland. Like, be a little bit fucking respectful. Chiefs kicked the fuck out of the Seahawks, 24-10. We all saw it coming.
Of course. Yeah, I know.
The Seahawks are just bad. Like, their defense is just bad. Like, the Chiefs, what, put up with 17 in the first half, just put it in fucking cruise control the rest of the way and no stress.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where you go, the Seahawks, yeah, cool, your offense, you got Geno, but you can flex as much as you want out on the field in your 10-degree weather. That's 10 degree Fahrenheit. Oh, look, it's not even cold. We're out here flexing without our shirts on. Maybe don't do that. Maybe just put on a shirt and just don't get so cold you might die.
Probably.
Because then you lost by 14, you idiots. Vikings-Giants, this was a cracking game. Giants, one of my best picks, I think, this season was just making sure they were 4.5-point underdogs in this. I think when we picked them, it was 3.5.
Yeah.
And so when it like ballooned out, I'm like, fucking yes, money. And so Vikings win this on the Greg Joseph 61-yarder. He's never kicked it 61. It's a franchise record. Yeah. And I believe isn't, I feel like Joseph is one of those dudes as well, where he's like fucking crazy, crazy, crazy accurate inside 50. And then outside of 50, I think this year he's like 2 of 7.
Yeah.
And so he drops a 61 fucking yarder, game winner, right through the pegs with room to spare. It was a beauty too by Greg. But seriously, Vikings, what are you doing? Like, you shouldn't have been in this position in the first place. Their defense, this is what fucking kills me, Gaz, about thinking about the Vikings going to the playoffs. Because they're 12-3. Mm-hmm. But they're shit. They're just shit. Like, what are they? There's something like 10-1 or something in one score games this season, which is fucking insane. And you talk about football gods, you're like, ah, they might have the football gods on their side this year, but it's the Vikings, so when they get to the playoffs, the football gods are 100% going to abandon them at first opportunity. And their defense is just shit. Like, to let the fucking Giants rack up the amount of yards and points they did on them is just egregious, isn't it? Like, 24 points, yeah, cool. But Danny Dimes had 334 yards. And
what the fuck is Danny Dimes doing passing 42 times in any game, right? Literally, the only way that these guys were winning games early in the season was squeaking out dirty, tough ground game, three tight end set, right? Chaos, right? And the Vikings, so the Vikings are on a two-game winning streak, right? So they've won two in a row, and they're now at a lofty plus 5 point differential, Jimmy, for the season. Just for a bit of context. San Francisco 49ers, plus 145. Dallas Cowboys, plus 131. Eagles, plus 137. They're the teams above, you know, 11 wins in a league. They're five, Jimmy. Plus five.
I think ridiculous. The Bills' point differential is like 157 or something. I wrote about that today. And I'm
yeah,
just like,
they're 150, yeah, 157.
And it's so, like,
yeah,
the Giants are five. No, the Vikings. A five.
Vikings.
That
Vikings
is
a five.
Fucking insane. Absolutely insane.
Yep.
But I mean, this is how they'll keep doing it, right? It's just like, give it to Jefferson. Ride it out. Give it to Cook. Get enough points. Hope for the best. Win close games. It's also like one of those things where you go from Mike Zimmer and his coaching to Kevin McConnell. Is that right? Connell? Mm-hmm. McConnell?
Yep.
Yeah. Kevin Connolly? Fuck, I can't remember. I think it's Kevin Connolly. Kevin O'Connolly? Shit.
O'Connell.
I can't remember his name. Kevin O'Connell, there you go. And you just have those moments going, ah, oh, this is what a half-decent sort of coach can sometimes do, just get you across the line in some of these dumb shit fucking games. But yeah, like Jefferson down the stretch to get that ball like across the midway line basically to set up that fucking kick was awesome. So good job, Vikes, I guess. Thank you for being... you know, making me look smart with my preseason predictions of the Vikings being good, even though I don't believe in them. The Patriots, 22-18 losers against the Bengals. This game sucked. Patriots are shit. Ramondre, the fun ball.
Like they were 22-0 up. Was that right? Bengals?
The Bengals, yeah. That was 22-0 at the half. You're like, yep, pack her up, boys. We'll see ya. Yeah. Thanks for Christmas, New England. Jeez. came flying back. Basically, shot a life, and you're like, hang on a second, let's go. The Marcus Jones, Chandler Jones, and Mac Jones' other brother, he was absolutely flying. Just incredible year for him as well. Like, it's a receiving touchdown, it's a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown, and he's done it all. Like, it's fucking awesome. I think the last Patriot to do that was Julian Edelman,
A
really long time ago. So, very cool, very fun. But yeah, not great. There was like, so Jones had the interception, runs it back, just a beautiful moment. We're like, maybe we've got a bit of life. Oh, we got a little bit of, Ramondre fumble.
Yeah.
Game over. So a bit of a tough one. The Cincinnati Bengals, is more the story, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, but once again, I mean, we've had the last couple of games, we're talking about the crazy amount of, like, just attempts, like having balance in the game at this end of the year. With guys like Mixon and P. Ryan, who was doing well when Mixon was out, Cincinnati only had 73 rushing yards and had Joe Burrow throwing the ball 52 fucking times.
That's how you're going to beat the Pats, though, at this point, though, right? Like, the run defense is really good.
Up at the half.
You should be just trying to run it down our throats, but
correct.
There were just moments where don't know, Belichick, we missed a, we're missing like PATs, field goals, everything. It's just like, we left points on the board, whatever. Yep. But this team is just bad. Like, Ramondre is good. I love him. Had like the two fumbles, he loses one, and it broke your back. Mac wasn't horrible. The sacks, he's just, I don't know, there's like that moment where you go, yeah, you could probably make your reads a bit quicker. This offensive line is sort of getting to the point where it's like, it's not Zach Wilson bad, it's not Russell Wilson bad, but it's also like, yeah, I don't know if they like you that much, pal. Just saying. But more for me, like the Bengals, this is the sort of game, you love them to win it, but as long as they stay healthy, and to lose Collins, you're like, oh, it's such a kick in the nuts. Like,
yep.
So, tough one. They'll be fine. They're 11-4. They've still got their massive showdown against the Ravens next week, which will be huge, just for the division, essentially, because it's like one of those couple of games this week that are actually meaningful. But the Bengals, they just had to win it, and they did. So, good on them, I guess.
Sure. Yep.
Panthers, 37. Lions, 23. Fucking Detroit. They always had it in them. They always had it in them. Oh, boy. They ran over the top of them. It was crazy.
Got them.
And, I mean, the rest of this game, you're just going, I think Steve Wilks just kept his job, yes? Like,
yeah.
Just get rid of the interim. Like, what are we doing here? That dude is just, he's earned it. That's his job. Fuck off. So, there you go.
Yeah, and when it started, like, we've talked about it for weeks, right? The running game since he took over is out of control. They had just between Chuba Hubbard, the Chuba, Chuba Hubbard, and Dante Foreman, there's what, 270 yards between those two dudes, right? Like, that's fucking nuts. You don't need Sam Darnold to go out and win games for you when you're doing that. But you can't really blame him. I mean, Goff had like three touchdowns, no picks, 355 yards, and you're like, you kind of did what you needed to, I guess, except you got blown out almost by the fucking Panthers.
Yeah, they did get killed too. Like, it was pretty embarrassing because you just have those moments where Detroit, their offense has been so good. And I think that was essentially a lot of my vibe for this. Like, the Panthers just won't be able to keep up. And it looked, you know, after the first quarter, it's like 7-7. You're like, all right, cool, Detroit will kick in. Nope. The Panthers are the ones that kicked it into gear and just fucking killed them from there on. So,
yeah,
tough one. Tough one for the Lions, but essentially they can still make the playoffs. This is the thing. They had, like, one game in hand, but now they have to win out.
Yeah.
So
there's that. We keep, you know, getting back to that creamy middle, mate. Creamy but it's middle. Got to, it needs to be that defense. Look, the stat line for the defense in that game was no sacks, no hits, no interceptions, and one pass defense.
Yeah. Aiden, like, Hutchinson broke my heart. You're killing me.
You're not going to win any games on that, right? So, anyway.
Anyway, Ravens, I think they basically booked themselves a playoff spot, didn't they? Yeah, they did. With that win over the Falcons, they eliminated Atlanta. Thank God, because that team just, oof, go away. I'm sick of you. 17-9. You're like, all right, cool. This team is just fine. The Ravens, defensively, sure. Like, they're 10-5. They're fine. They're good. Desmond Ridder wasn't that bad. Just the rest of it, you just don't care, right? The Falcons are just shit.
No.
Tyler Huntley didn't have to do too much, and they really didn't ask him to do too much.
No.
Which is fine. They just went, right, here, Gus Edwards here, J.K. Dobbins. Just
run the ball a bit.
Run him. Just run them.
Get it to Mark Andrews a couple of times. 34. Let's just go home.
34 carries as a team. It was fucking chaos.
Yep.
So good job, Ravens. The defense, look, you're playing against a quarterback in his second start. You should just fucking kick the shit out of him. So they did. Texans, Titans. Ah, there's another quarterback who you don't want throwing. Oh, boy. 19-14. Houston get their second win of the year against the division leading Tennessee Titans, who are just chaos. Like, okay. I love it. Derrick Henry scores, and you're like, here we go. Derrick Henry, he fucking loves kicking the shit out of the Texans, doesn't he? And that was it. Seriously, Malik Willis was the next one to score, and that was all of their scoring all game. And yeah, boom. So Brandon Cooks gets the go-ahead late, and Tennessee fucked it. So, sucked in, dickheads.
Willis with next less than 99 yards passing and two picks.
He was so bad. His second pick, the game breaker, where it just like it's a little dolly. Like it's like me throwing the ball to like the nephew in the pool, or even into the squid. Just like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, what? I'm like, oh, I don't want to peg it at him. I'll just loft it up. I'll loft it up so he can try to catch it. That's what he did, but to the defense. Malik, what are you doing, mate? It's like, oh, that's why they didn't want him to pass that much. Fucking hell. Because Henry has, 23 carries, 126 yards.
Cool.
Great. It's not enough. Like, that's a game where you're like, every play is Henry. Like, just go. Just, what's the worst that could happen? You could lose. You fucking lost anyway, you idiots. What are you doing? Anyway, so Titans... Tannehill is done for the regular season at least.
Yeah.
And...
Well, I mean, you got to think about it, right? Like, Willis has not inspired anyone, right? In his performance so far. And if they do not beat Jacksonville in that last game... So, it's like, they play Dallas this week. So, I think they'll get the shit kicked out of them. And then last, in the final week, if they don't beat Jacksonville, they're going to finish, 7-10? And they're already games behind the Chargers, Ravens, and currently behind the Dolphins, but we'll see what happens with Tua with his concussion. But there's another 1, 2, 3 teams currently sitting on 7-8, right? So if they don't win the division, they're sitting at home through Jan, right? Yep.
And it's Packer Up Boys time, I reckon.
yeah.
That's how it goes. Like hard reset time, actually, almost, for Tennessee. So, later games, Commanders, the Commies got fucking shit pumped by the Niners, 37-20. It's because the Niners are really fucking good, Gaz.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yep.
Purdy is pretty good. He just goes out there, kicks ass, tech names. That's all he does. Nothing else.
That's it.
As you mentioned... Heinicke got sat for Carson Wentz. Sure. I mean, tough scenes, right?
At this stage, we had these statements at the beginning of the season, if you go back to who was on the hot seat, and Riverboat Ron was definitely there if he didn't make the playoffs. But then they've kind of gone out after Wentz went down and shown some spunk, and they're currently potential to finish at least above 500. So, but that said, who are they going to go out and get? They're not going to have a high enough draft pick to go out and get a high ranked quarterback. They're stuck with a pretty hefty Wentz contract. Heineken's not the long term answer. They did pick up, oh my God, Sam Howell? Did they pick up Sam Howell last year? The rookie quarterback? So he hasn't shown anything yet. So
yeah, they did. Yeah.
It was Sam Howell, right? So they have to see what he does have eventually, but they haven't been willing to put him in at fucking all this year. So I don't know, man. Let's wait till the new ownership comes in and then some decisions might be made in Washington.
Definitely a team where you're like Sean Payton's like, yeah, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
if you fire Ron, like, yeah, I'm all right. But more like the Niners are just, this is the game where you go, they can just win no matter fucking what, right? Like, Purdy wasn't...
Well, as you said...
He wasn't lights out, but he was good enough. He was pretty good. Kittle was fucking incredible. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, that's all you need.
Kittle's been on fucking in cotton wool for fucking a month, as we said last week.
I fucking told you guys. It's just like you pull him out of the garage and away you go.
Just don't get hurt, right? And then we've got, and this is with Debo out.
Yep.
Right? So, and when McCaffrey's less than 46 yards, but then you have a Ray McLeod, one carry for 70 yards, that'll do it. Yeah. Look, they did what they needed to do, as you'd expect, and then we can move on.
All right, your team. The Eagles 34, Cowboys 40. How about them boys?
It was a fun game. It was honestly a fun game to watch, even though that I was on the losing end of it. Dak came out, the run game, they were they were fine, the Cowboys. We were, it was a pick six from Josh Sweat, like, to start the game. The Eagles jumped out, and we actually had a lead for most of the game.
Most of the game, right? Yeah.
Yep. But Vontae Maddox went down in the second or third quarter, and he was our key slot defender, and that just allowed the Cowboys to move CD around, and Bradbury and Slay exclusively play on the outside, and they just gashed us, right? And then even that play, I think you touch on it later, about the fact that we got them into third and 30, and there was just a bomb over the top. So here, T.Y., go get this. And it was Josiah Scott who came over to be this safety help over the top for Slay, who just like, I've got some help behind me, and allowed him to make the catch. And you were just like, oh, that's how this game's going to go.
Yep.
But look, it was all about Gardner. We did run the ball a little bit more with Miles, but Gardner put up 350 yards, couple of TDs, couple of picks. One definitely wasn't his fault because the catch was actually made. And
wasn't there like two moments where Quez Watkins basically had the ball ripped from it? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Those things don't like, those targets, he goes to Quez obviously a lot more because he's played on the scout team with him. I would say at least one of those plays doesn't happen with Hurts in there. And the other one, we killed ourselves with, there's four turnovers. There was a fumble, and just a ridiculous fumble by Miles Sanders. But the other one was the fumble on an exchange, the quarterback to running back exchange. It just doesn't happen with Hurts. So, look, they earned it. Cowboys earned it. They can be happy. We're now 1-1, both teams playing each other's teams with backup quarterbacks. And I think, look, if we clean up either the Saints or the Giants this week and next week, we got the number one seed. But Cowboys still alive to take it, right? So they can win out. They'll play Tennessee and then New York in the last week. No, we played New York, Washington in the last week. So they could definitely win out. And if the Vikings drop or we drop, then they could definitely be the number one seed.
Right,
so
there.
Cowboys alive.
Love it. Franco Harris game. Raiders, Steelers. Yeah. Steelers 13-10. Raiders had this, then they didn't. And it felt like very Franco Harris is like making sure that we don't lose this game. And what, it was the Pickens touchdown late and pretty good. Like,
yeah,
it was cold. It looked very cold. It looked exceptionally cold. But it was a very classic, horrible, like Christmas Day, freezing, well, Christmas Eve over there, obviously, just freezing cold bullshit Pittsburgh game. The Raiders are like, we're all excited for, we're not that excited for this though, to be honest. Like, nobody really wants to be here. Josh Jacobs can't get going. Derek Carr is just sort of Derek Carring, and they sort of sucked. And Pittsburgh just got him. Pickens all at the end from Pickett. It's just like, all right, cool. Off you go.
And sneaky, all of a sudden, these Steelers are 7-8. That's fucking weird.
What do I say, Gaz? Mike Tomlin doesn't finish under 500.
That's it.
Just what he does.
That's it. But you look in the, even with the, when you're touching on what you just mentioned in the Vegas game, I mean, they've got some serious decisions to make about Carr. They've given him some weapons. Yes, they had lost Waller and Renfro for a significant amount of time. But you expect more of this? Yeah. That seemed to be a challenge. Josh Jacobs just clearly, let's see the interviews afterwards, he does not want to fucking be there. he won't be back next year. Waller and Renfro have come back now, but too little too late, you got to think.
Yep.
Their defense kept them to 13 points, but we're not talking about a high-powered
fucking Steelers offense. It's just cold as shit. Right? Like, this Steelers offense sucks as well. Like, Pickett wasn't bad, whatever. Mike Tomlin, though, just like, nah, cool. You know, immaculate reception. That's how we go.
Yeah.
We did it for the big fella. Cool. Yeah. Our Boxing Day games, Miami lose to the Packers 26-20. Dolphins gave this one away. Three interceptions by Tua, and you're like,
crazy.
So you guys just don't want to be in the playoffs. Okay, cool. Yeah. Pretty rough one. Meanwhile, the Packers are just like, oh, I guess we'll win this then. That's fine. Like, it felt like they were starting every possession, like just at their own 40-yard line, Gaz. It was weird. It was like fucking chaos. And you're like, all right, sure, keep going, but Packers.
Now that thing about the concussion coming out after the game, like if you watch, go back and watch those three quick fire interceptions by Tua, and they are not close. They are not the guy who's thrown 250 yards to fucking Waddle and Hill combined. They are drastically overthrowing receivers, just dropping into. I think one of them was Rasul Douglas, and like the one from Rasul Douglas, he just kind of stepped in it, like he was just. In front of the receiver by about fucking 10 yards. It was nuts. So clearly there's something wrong. You don't have three quarters of a game shooting lights out and then all of a sudden not. And then the Packers vibe is, yeah, we're getting hot at the right amount at the right time and we're good for this. And you're like, oh, are you though? Because really, there's something a bit dodgy that caused that game to go the way it did, you know, going into the fourth quarter, even when the quarterback from the other team's just thrown three picks. And
he still found Waddle, he still found Hill, but it's like, how many yards after the catch are we attributing here? It's like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And Green Bay, good on him. Yeah. Keeps their season alive,
all of a
obviously.
Sudden, another one that's 7-8, right?
Yep.
Like, all of a sudden, if we look at, you know, them, Detroit is going to come down to it. But once again, that squirrely half game for New York and Washington is going to screw a few things up. If these guys win out, then they're safe because they're going to have the half a game above. But, you know, we've got Seattle who look like a fucking mess. Detroit and Green Bay all sitting at 7-8. But Carolina and New Orleans only one game behind.
It's so dumb.
Right? And then Washington, 7-7-1, who look like, if you look at this game that they just played against a legit contender, you go, well, you guys should have no fucking chance.
Yeah.
But they're right fucking there. Right? So.
Speaking of not right there, the Broncos got absolutely demolished. 51-14 in one of the grossest games this year. Denver was so fucking bad. It was gross. I mean, I
couldn't believe it.
Should we just spend much time on this? Like, I don't think we need to, do it. Like, it was just.
No. Nah.
The Denver Broncos just got run the fuck over by a team that doesn't have anything to play for and no players.
And has no one. Right?
They've got literally nobody. Like, Brett Rypien was out there for the Broncos. He's like, man. Hey, offensive line. Like, you got to help out, like, Russell. And they're like, Brett, you need to sit the fuck down. Like, go sit the fuck down. He's like, oh, okay, I'll be good. And then he gets out there and he was actually not too bad. But, I mean, the Rams, like, Baker was fine. They looked good. And Cam Akers just went, I'll just have myself a day. How's that sound? Three touchdowns, fuck you, boom. And ripped it off.
The only sort of thing that the Broncos team this year has had for it is that defense.
Yep.
And they finished with, just a fantasy reference, they finished with -4 fantasy points against the fucking Rams.
It was starting a bloke who they picked up off the waiver wire 2 weeks ago. So
exactly, yeah. And no Cooper Kupp, like what
no
are
Aaron
doing,
Donald,
mate?
No Matt Stafford, no. Just nobody. Like it's
a
all Packer up boys.
50-burger against what was at the time a 4-10 team.
Yep,
Jesus, man,
unbelievable. It's like I think that is like one of the worst losses to a 4-10 team like ever at this late in the season. So
yeah.
Bucks cards 19-16. Tom Brady does it again. Overtime,
that was painful.
Shreds in overtime. Comes back from 10 down in the fourth quarter, ties it up.
Yeah,
we go to overtime. 6-6, I think he goes, and they just win it. So
there was, and like you, it's tough. You saw it like there's, what do you say? JJ Watt afterwards, after the game, was like fucking destroyed because that was like you would have put everything on that on the board. But there was some like. You know, McSorley was like just fucking throwing lasers, right? And there was a nice Greg Dortch was going off, and there was a nice one on the fucking down the sideline, like two defenders to Hollywood Brown, where like that was when they went down and took the lead, and you were like, oh fuck, here we go, like all right, like cards are going to show a little bit of fucking put their nutsack on the line here. Here we go. And then all of a sudden it was just like a couple of plays by Lenny. Russell Gage, Godwin, one or two by Evans.
Evans and away
like, you go. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Yep.
Here we
classic
go.
Tom Brady.
Just does enough. Just enough, right?
So
in
the biggest
second half.
The biggest point about this is
three or
like
4 weeks in a row.
The big problem for me with the Tom Brady comebacks now is that it's like 19-16, he came back again. It's like, but he was shit for the first 3.5 quarters. Like, what are we doing here? And it's happened literally the last month, where where we're like, oh, he's come back again. Classic Tom Brady. Yeah, but his team is shit, and he's been sucking for so much of the game that the comebacks have suddenly been necessitated out of nowhere, where you're like, oh, Tom, can you score us, like, I don't know, 10 points in the next 2.5 minutes? And he's like,
yeah,
I guess, because I'm Tom Brady. And I do love that people are like now, like, hey, Todd Bowles, so when you score all your points in the last 3 minutes of a game, have you considered playing your offense more like that
the
rest of the game?
55 minutes?
The other 55 minutes. Like, just a thought. He's like, nah. So, all right, thanks, Todd. We'll see you not next year because you're going to get your ass fired. But still, Bucks lead the NFC South. And, of course, AFC South Colts. Skadoosh, see you later. 20-3, lose to the Chargers. Love it. My boy. My boy! Juzzy Herbs.
It's pretty fucking one-sided.
Let's
so,
go.
Like, fucking Big Dick Nick has got... Doesn't seem like he's got much left, mate.
You reckon? What hurts my soul so much is, like, watching bits of this game today, just going, I can't believe we fucking lost the Super Bowl, this dickhead. Fuck me. Jesus,
he was
breaks
good
your heart.
He's good when they play into a scheme, but the guy hasn't played in like...
Today he had three interceptions, got sacked 7 times. It was fucking horrible. Like this.
Yep.
Talk about a team that just packed up 2 weeks ago and went home. That's the Colts. But yeah, 20-3. Chargers clinch their first playoff appearance since the 2018 season. So at the start of 2019, they made it. And it's Herbs' first go. So, kind of love it. Exciting times. Let's do some yeah-nahs, guys.
Well, and they're getting, particularly on the, on the offense, they're, I think we mentioned it last week, but they're getting healthy at the right time. Like, Eckler showed up today, so there's definitely some happy people out there about in the fantasy world. But Keenan Allen and Mike Williams both stepping up, both like, oh, yeah, that's what this offense can be when he's actually got some proper qualified wide receivers.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the things where they have... Nice. Like, the defense kind of just gets a couple of passes like these last few weeks, right, where they're just pretty shit teams are going up against and they're just sort of taking care of business. And you're like, well, no, the Chargers still have to win these fucking games and, like, they're doing it. So I kind of love it.
Yeah, why not?
They're one of, like, the weird smokies when you look at the Super Bowl odds as well. They're like some fucking crazy number where you're like, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but... This is a team that squeaked by the Titans last week and had that crazy game against the Dolphins 2 weeks ago. So, I don't know. It's a bit weird. Anyway, let's do some yeah-nahs. Number one, was that Zach Wilson performance combined with the Russell Wilson performance? Was that the worst pair of brothers playing quarterback ever we've seen, Gaz? Yeah-nah.
I reckon that's almost the worst two combined, legit beginning of the season starters.
Yep.
Right, I'm not saying someone who was thrown in as a second or third string that had no expectations. At the beginning of the year, these were the guys who were going to take their teams to the playoffs, and they both put up an absolute fucking stinker.
Like,
right?
We didn't even really rattle even off like those stats. Like, the stats for Rusty, we didn't rattle them off, right? It was like 3 interceptions. Like, he was...
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking horrible. Like, what are we doing?
And they were gross, too. They weren't
to
even
the
like,
Rams.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, Russell, you do know how to play quarterback, don't you? Like, I've seen you do it. Well, sure, the Pats beat you in a Super Bowl. But all at the same time, you're just like, dude, this just... It comes down to that question of, like, who would you rather, like, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? It's just...
Oh.
Would you rather have your dick chopped off or shot off? Like, what are you talking about? Fucking hell.
Sean Payton's going to fix him next year, right?
Russell or...
Russell.
Sean. Jesus. Maybe. Maybe that's why you move so quickly on Hackett right now. Throwing big dick, Nick, is that the worst trifecta of shitty quarterback play we've seen? Yeah, nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't bad weekend wasn't for great. Quarterback play. You know, it's cold, whatever, I get it, but fucking hell, it was tough.
Yeah, but I don't think there's the team around him as like, you know, talk about not only nothing to play for, but an interim coach who clearly has no fucking clue. An offensive play caller who was going to get people's lunch 4 weeks ago. Like, talk about coming into an absolutely no fucking win situation. And you're like, oh, well. But still, he's been floating around. Like, maybe it's Big Dick Nick. Let the legacy go. Just fucking retire, mate. You've got the money. You've got the accolades. You've got 3 jerseys in the Hall of Fame.
That's what he was doing, though, wasn't it? It's like, I'm just going to get paid and I won't literally actually have to play.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you want me to play? Wait. Fuck. Can't we just get Sam Ellinger to play? And it's like, nah, well, we've got you, fucking... Nick. It's like, oh, fuck, okay.
After Jeff Saturday, 3 picks and 7 fucking sacks, right? Like, wouldn't you just put... Even the commentators were saying, like, I cannot believe they're putting this guy at the end of his career... Just at least see what Sam Ellinger's got. You've lost this fucking game.
Yeah.
Right?
It's over.
Get the guy some
legit
starting periods, right? Starting minutes, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not talk about that.
Sure.
That shit matters.
Is this going to be one of the worst player fields we'll have seen? Yeah, nah. I mean, we might end up having 2 teams that are 500 or under in the playoffs. I don't actually... Can that be... You can't be 500 going to the playoffs, can you, with the 17 weeks, but... you might be close, you could be with the tie, so but we might end up definitely having teams that are under, right? So
correct.
It's weird because it all depends on like results this week and then how they go the week after with the overall 500 standings. But I think with the AFC South and the NFC South providing each conference's 4th seed, like it automatically makes just the playoff bracket hilariously weak, doesn't it? Like,
100%.
You think about AFC, you've still got like teams like Baltimore and shit, where you're like, that team is not beating anybody until Lamar comes back. And even if Lamar comes back, he doesn't have like weeks under his belt. Like, they're fucking cooked. And you think about the NFC, once you get outside of the top 3, it's a shit show. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, what is going on? So, I don't know. This feels like the weakest one that I've seen for a while, Gaz. How are you feeling?
Well, Seattle's going to, they're well and truly falling off the cliff. They're on their way down. Carolina, yes, they pulled something crazy out against the Lions.
Shit.
But are you really threatened by them? Are you really threatened by New Orleans, who skims over a game where the Red Rifles got like 98 fucking passing yards? And the Giants, look, they've got... They could show something on a day, but they were pretty much dismantled by us. They were dismantled by the Cowboys. So I can't really think when there's shit on the line, whether you'd be putting any faith in them.
Yep.
The Lions, I mean, the Lions can get into a shootout. That's the thing, right? The Lions could get in and put up 35, 40 points, and they only need those 1 or 2 stops. And then all of a sudden, it's fucking... There's a game that's gone a little bit fucky. But then, look, even look at the Vikings. Like, we've spent a bunch of time on that. You don't even put them in the realm of the top 4, right?
100%.
And then you've got the same in the AFC. Where it's it's really going to come down to a couple of head-to-head battles. And as we already spoke about, like, you're going to lose the South by a game or even by a tiebreaker, and the second team is going to not make the playoffs.
So basically, my vibe is like we sort of hit the end of each season going, I mean, it's a bit of a Russian roulette of like, you know, depending on matchups, but there's still probably between 6 to 8 teams across the 2 conferences that can win the entire thing. This year, it feels like 5, maybe.
Yeah.
Like maybe. Because I don't trust the Vikings at all. And I'm like, because if you give me the top 3 in the AFC, so Bills, KC, Cincy.
Yep.
Chargers is a weird smoky, but if their defense was healthy, I'd be all on board, but it's not.
Yeah.
And I just don't trust them to like, A, I don't trust Brandon Staley, but the rest of their defense as well, it's always a bit of a question mark. And, like, none of the fucking teams are going to fall into that wild card spot, like, whether it be Miami, Pats, whoever the fuck falls in there. Like, just not going to happen. Baltimore stink. And in your NFC, it's the same thing, right? It's like, basically,
yep.
I'm afraid of Philly, San Francisco, maybe Dallas. But Dallas, again, I'm not, to be honest, afraid of them if I'm either Philly or San Francisco. Like, that's, like, they're on the outer for me. Like, I think it's those two, and then everybody else can fuck. Like, Minnesota, yeah, as we've talked about, the worst 12-3 team ever, probably. Like, goddamn. So, yeah, I'm really not impressed.
It's really, really highly going to come down to health. I mean, we saw what happens with when a couple of key pieces went from the Chargers early in the season. Philly's going through it right now. The best positioned seems to be, really, the Chiefs, who instead of having that Hill model have been able to spread out that offense.
Yep.
And San Fran, who've proved for the fourth year in a row that they're plug and play.
Doesn't matter. Right?
Like, doesn't fucking matter.
They're 11-4. It is so crazy to think.
Crazy.
For all the injuries
they
had.
Third string.
Unbelievable. Yep. Right, you've got a couple there too.
Oh, yeah. So this one didn't get a good reaction from you when I wrote it down. At this stage, Mac Jones is the second dirtiest player in NFL history behind only Vontaze Burfict. Yeah, nah.
What a cunt. Come on. Look,
what a cunt. He's now known for diving at people's legs.
Three plays where he's diving at people's legs. He's like, yeah, Mac, my dude, you're doing bad. Just fucking quit it. Like, the thing is, like, I feel like the problem with me is, like, as I mentioned, right, it's just smacks of white privilege.
Yeah.
Like, because he's just got such the world's punchablest face. He really does. He's like, I went to Alabama. Look at me. Now I'm the quarterback of the Patriots. Oh, it's not going my way. And he cracks, like, my big thing with this is he cracks the sads because something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And that's when he does the knee diving.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo. Remember last week when you didn't take out Chandler Jones, motherfucker? Like, do it then. Don't do it on, like, a trailing dude that's not going to, like, impact the play whatsoever. Like, that's just, it's pretty fucking bad. But we have seen.
Did you hear his excuse? His excuse was really fucking lame. It was that, oh, he was catching up to our dude.
Catch our trailer. It's like, dude, no.
Dude, you can do that. You just need to get into his way.
You can
like,
just bump
literally,
him.
All you need to stop is one step. You don't need to fucking take
try
the
to take out his ACL,
out.
You fucking.
And it was that. Eli Apple. He's shit. You don't even need to do much.
Tough.
He would have fucked it himself.
Yeah. No, he's not, like, we've seen substantially dirtier players, but yeah, he's on a bad track.
Not great.
Anyway.
He's not letting a good vibe come back. Anyway, and this one's from Jez. Fucking good mate of the show, Jez. And this is not from me. I didn't just insert Jez's name in here. Gardner Minshew deserves to be a starter ahead of at least 10 starting quarterbacks. Yeah.
If you go back to, like, I don't know, 2 years worth of this show, I've probably been yelling about this even more than you, about Minshew.
Yeah,
like,
I would argue. I'm keeping quiet about it because I don't want him gone. We've shown with the Foles thing and now with Minshew stepping in, you need a good backup in this league, right?
So I'm just saying, guys. I'm happy for him. I would take Minshew over Mac Jones right now, like in a heartbeat. Yeah. It's like, fuck yeah, give me Minshew. I want to be driving the Minshew Mania bus. Fuck yeah.
And every fucker wants to play with him. Like the amount of like him just coming out and saying, Jalen's just been nothing but supportive and helped me out and all the players wanting to succeed for him and then him being forgiven to go and do the eulogy at Leach's college coach's funeral before coming in to play that game. Like, how do you not want to fucking achieve for this dude?
Love it.
There's a whole bunch of quarterbacks in this league that I would be, I'm glad, are starting quarterbacks on.
But yeah, so Jez ripped off 10. So in terms of starters,
it
does get a bit tough.
What do we call it a starter?
New Orleans, I will. Carolina, I will.
Yeah.
I'd probably take him over, probably over the Heineken. So there's three.
Take him over Ritter right now.
I'd take him over Ritter in Atlanta. And I'd take him over, obviously, Wilson. Take him over. Obviously, Davis over Mills.
I'll take him Willis and Mills right
Willis,
now.
Willis, there's seven. Whoever the fuck they want to start in the New York Jets, I'm taking him over all of them, including the White Lotus, Mike White.
I'll take him over Baker.
Right now, Baker in LA, and I'd take him over Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. I'd take him over Deshaun. There's 11. Boom. Yeah, I fucking love. I'd take him over Mac Jones. There's 12. Boom. Simple.
Yep, and you'd probably take him over. You'd take him over McSorley as well. So there's 12. There's half the league, mate. We get up to half the league. We would take Anyway, I'm glad he's trying to get us a Super Bowl.
I think it's just anywhere else. It's just power of good dudeness. Like, he's just a good dude. Sometimes just be not a shit bloke, and away you go. Yeah. Speaking of
stories
good blokes,
came out last year. Go back to that last year with the gym, and like he went and bought an old prison bus and parked it out the front of the gym, and went and started training there until the Eagles said you can come back into Novacare. So he's like, "All right, no worries." Lived in a bus, a millionaire fucking dude living out of his fucking gym.
Good bloke of the week, T.Y. Hilton, first reception of the year as a Cowboy, the 3rd and 30. It was a beauty. Great.
Why do you have to fucking hurt me like this, Jimmy?
It was hilarious. But, I mean, this is more like T.Y. Hilton. Like, just
he's done it his entire career. That's his vibe. I fucking love the dude.
This dude didn't get picked up by anybody all season. Looked like he was cooked. Looked like he was done. Too many injuries. And we go through the OBJ hullabaloo with the Cowboys. They just go, nah, fuck that. We'll just pick up T.Y. Hilton. Same, same.
Yeah. His last game was like January.
Yeah. Crazy. Good on him. It was a great catch.
No.
And he looked great. I'm just so happy for him. So that's one of those moments where you're like, that's a good bloke of the week. Boom. Done.
Yeah. Done. All right. Mine. Your mate. Fucking Herbs.
Yeah, you wrote it down before I could. So
yeah, I know.
You got to these ones before I did.
Usually it's me getting desperate and like trying to find things that Jimmy hasn't said. But for once, I got in the notes first. Juzzy Herbs. First playoff secured. First playoffs for the Chargers since 18?
Was it 2018? 18-19 season. I think the most underplayed aspect of the good bloke of the year, good bloke of the week rather, is that Herbs did this almost despite his coach. Like, it's just so good. Like,
this is a little bit of a side thing. Have you seen the video that's circulating about Staley's warm-up?
Staley doing his weird little bum yoga, and away you go.
That's fucking weird.
Cool, man.
Anyway, next one, same game, but Eckler and the Chargers D. Being the last game of this week and being that we're in fantasy playoffs this week, there's a whole bunch of fuckers out there have Eckler going off and that D putting up its own 20 points.
Yep. That's huge.
They've got
a lot of fantasy teams
over the line. Mention throw goes out to Cam Chambers, who had both of those.
Oh.
Who had and won by 3 points.
No.
Yeah, so the loss couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. anyway, honourable mention. Can't have a beer with him, but honourable mention goes to Franco Harris, who passed away 2 days before the Steelers were going to retire his number and the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, right?
Yep.
So, big process for the Steelers. All arrived at the players all arrived at the stadium in Franco Harris jerseys. By all reports, he was a fucking cracking bloke.
Yep.
And pull one out for Franco.
100%. Absolute legend of the game. That's how it goes. Yeah. Old mate, no mates. This week, Ramondre Stevenson broke my heart. A couple of fumbles. Bill Belichick's just like, Mondre, you're in the doghouse and it's not going to be good. Just like, oh man, come on. Ramondre's been like our only bright spark all fucking year, and then he has like one bad game. And you're like, oh. Bill's gonna kill him.
Yeah, you've guys usually got a fucking circular of three running backs. Usually, at least one of them's white. Who you just like? It's just whoever's not in the doghouse is the one who gets the carries this week for the Patriots, right?
Ramondre's been legitimately awesome, and it's like, shit. Oh well,
shit. That'll do it. For me, it's I couldn't narrow it down to one, so I've just gone with the entire Broncos train wreck. Everyone, no one.
Hackett,
no one's got any mates.
Rusty, everyone hates him. But
fucking Hackett obviously lost a job. Rusty's play, and then I don't know if you saw the clip of him like coming over, like there was some strategic, like people were trying to watch his plays, and he's talking to his offensive line with his with the football in front of his mouth, like he was just trying to hide signals, like it was like a playoff game and you actually had a chance of fucking winning. The D getting, as we mentioned before, getting torn fucking apart by a shitty Rams outfit. And then Randy Gregory getting into a punch-on during the post-game handshakes and getting suspended for a game. Like, that was, if you've seen the clip, it's during Baker getting interviewed. Like, teams are shaking hands in the background. He, like, another offensive lineman gets in Gregory's way, push and shove, punches thrown while both still wearing their helmets, which I'll never fucking get. And yeah, ended up with a player from each side getting suspended. But when you total all that up, it's just a very, very shit week to be a Bronco.
Yeah, Rusty also having that moment where Ripien's like trying to like get the offensive line like, come on, get behind Rusty. And they're just like, dude.
Nah.
On your fucking bike, pal. Tough. And you've also mentioned Zach Wilson, which is
it's been a consistent. We've not had, as I said, we need to have the Dick of the Year kind of segment, because at least Rusty, one of the Wilsons feels like it's been in every week.
Yeah, it's the Wilson sisters. It's 100%. Zach, though, the booze being that early in that game and so vociferous in that fucking weather is just so stupendous. Like, you can't discount how like tough it is to boo that loudly in that stadium. Your own team, because your quarterback's a fuckhead and he's shit and you hate him, and to have it just be like that big on the broadcast, it was incredible. Yeah. So definitely old mate, no mates, and he is Dunskies in New York. Unpopular opinion of the day, Russell Wilson, just saying, there's a chance he might still be fine. He has looked so fucked at times this year, Gaz, that when they fight Nathaniel Hackett, you have that moment going, does that spark him? Like, does it give him something? Is it, we're going to change coaches, we're going to change some personnel around, and we're going to build around Russell because we've got literally no other option because we're paying this motherfucker through the next 4 years, $250 million. I kind of think you give him a new coach that he works with from the get-go, and away you go. He'll be okay. But at the same time, guys, like, I do worry about Russell Wilson's ceiling and what it may have ever have been. Because we're seeing with Geno Smith, we're seeing with Pete Carroll, they're just like, oh, yeah, this is a lot easier without that fucking prick. Like, right? Like, that's kind of it. You're like, oh, God.
Yeah, nah, look, no, because I'm... Like, watching those plays, watching peak Rusty, the stuff that he would do on broken plays himself, the plays on the run that he would make down the field to lock it.
Mahomes-ish, right?
Like, yeah, and I think that's the scary bit. That's why we all have this weird belief that he will get right, because it doesn't feel logical for a guy that we've seen play at that level fall off that cliff so quick. Like last year when it was, he came back and he was fucking shit, let's be honest, but then it was like, oh wait, he rushed back off a fucking 8 week hand fucking injury in 3 weeks. Well, yeah, once that 8 weeks kicked in when he should have been healed, he actually started playing well, fine again, right? He was fine.
Yeah.
But so the fact to come out here and we had spruiked it, and not only us, but every fucking podcast in the world had spruiked it. You know what? The Broncos were one piece away, and it was that quarterback.
Yep.
Right? And they've got, you know, Judy, and yes, Patrick went down early, but Patrick wasn't like game-changing fucking wide receiver. Right? And, you know, you got Sutton there, and you got that defense, and you're just like, you know what? This is legit.
Yeah.
And then this has been fucked.
So bad. It's one of those things you go, maybe it was Hackett. I don't know. But if, so the thing is with the Broncos, the new owners having spent so much fucking money and obviously being sold this false bill of goods in trading for Wilson straight up, you have to break the bank and go, hey, Sean Payton, here's just all of the money can you fix this? Yeah. And he'd be like, I'll give it a shot. How much money are we talking?
Wow, here's something funny from today, right? So the Eagles for the last couple of years have had Vic Fangio in as a defensive consultant. The stories kicking around at the moment is that Sean Payton is so certain that he'll be coaching next year, he's already putting together his assistant coaching ranks, of which Vic Fangio, former head coach of the Broncos, is his defensive coordinator, slated to be his defensive coordinator. So how hilarious would it be if he just ended up back and you just be like, yeah, I think I'll be right.
I'm all right. Australian spotty this week, Mitch Wish. No, Dicko. Let's go Dicko. Because that loss against the Chiefs, he had 5 punts, comes after the 7 the week before. Had a couple of good ones too. So I think he ends up with 238. The longest one he had was 56. And just looked pretty good. That big booming boot of Dicko. Love to see it. He was the one that stuck out the most to me this week just because I felt like the Seahawks were punting all the time. So, yeah, it's one of those moments where, it's good to see Dicko crushing it. Hey, because the Niners didn't need much of Mitch Wish.
No, I agree, and I'm going to preempt next week's one because it's definitely going to be Mailata, because there's already an article out that Mailata's family have flown over to the States, and it's the first time his parents are actually going to ever see him in an NFL game. He's going to be the Seahawks one, and the other shout out goes out to an Eagles fan in Australia called Benny Cicchetto, who actually has been the guy who's been bringing out the massive banners. If you're not an Eagles fan, you wouldn't know, but this guy with banners, he's become mates with him and got a FaceTime with Mailata this week and got him to shout out to Eagles Australia. So how good is this little NFL community that we've got kicking on in Australia?
That's fucking good. Great. I love it.
I know.
He's also got the voice of an angel.
He does.
All right, Outback Takehouse. It is Tuesday, Gaz. And you know what? Me and the squid, as soon as we got down the lawn, we went up the tree, got ourselves a koala, put that fucking thing over the barbecue pit. Boom, off you go. Barbecue koala. Only at Outback. Oh, it's a bit gamey. Fucking hell. Wait, is this fucking thing mostly eucalyptus? Fuck, that's probably poisonous. Oh, I'll give it a shot anyway. Only and Outback. And today's flame grill take is Bobby Kraft is out there playing 4D chess, Gaz. He's undermining Bill Belichick just so he can go and hire Sean Payton after Bill Belichick finally fucking resigns. Only. And about basically, this one got thrown around. You're like, I don't think that's happening. look, Bob Kraft, God bless him. He's doing great. He's done awesome. I'm not sure he's smarter than Bill Belichick, though.
No.
The other thing is watching.
Although senility is a real thing, and there has to be a real fucking reason why you've still got Matt Patricia calling plays. I'm just fucking saying.
I think it's going to get a bit squirrely this off season for the Pats, and I don't like it. Anyway, Captain Fantasy, me, fuck off, don't care, whatever. Consolation brackets are for arseholes and losers. I'm just saying.
I promised Jez that I'd get you to do a 10-minute deep dive into how your team went from third to you losing your consolation bracket?
Yep. So I'll probably end up like eighth somewhere? After all, it's all said and done. Not great.
Ouch.
Injuries, Gaz. That's the short answer. Injuries.
Dogs. We all go through it, Jimmy. I knocked off Ricky Williams' veggie patch to set up a final. I'm in a final. I'm never in a final. With the juices still loose, who happened to be the league's second top scorer. And I was nowhere near the league's second top scorer. So he fucking shot out of a cannon this week. So I feel like this could be a one-sided final.
So the juice is still loose is Todd Polglase, isn't it? That's the
that's correct.
The new addition to the NFL Australia Legends League
this
year.
The non-Eagles supporter Polglase.
Yeah, it's the other Polglase. Some would call him the lesser Polglase, usually Brett. but either way, I think, I'm cooked
there
either way.
The new kid gets in, the rookie.
Against one of the co-hosts of the show. You love to see it. Yeah. If only one of the other ones had fucking held up his the bucket. What a horror show this last 3 weeks for me has been for fantasy. It's been fucked. Anyway, who cares? Previews for next week. It's pretty big, but also it's not that big. It's weird, as we've said. Diving in, Dallas.
Hang on. Can we start with, let's just, this never happens. Can we start with how last week's tips went?
Oh, yeah. You smoked me. So 9-4. If I actually went back through and looked at my code bet tips, it's one of those things where I don't change my NFL Australia tips.
Yeah.
Because I always forget. But Ben, by the time I'm doing my Friday picks column for code bet, I never try to line them up with NFL Australia because I just have forgotten, right?
Yeah, and so much has changed and all that sort of
stuff. So I got 4 correct. You got 9. So that drops the difference between us to 14. So I'm at 121. You're 107. Yep. But that is your equal best week of the year and by far my worst. So it's like,
yeah.
Look, I'm
just chipping away.
At least I timed it right.
This week.
So,
yeah, exactly. All right, let's do these ones.
It was a bit fucked. It was crazy. So you smashed it. A lot of the ones for me, I think, were stuff like Tennessee. Like, I thought at least that'd be close with Willis. Nah, Tennessee just fucking shit the bed all over, like just shit everywhere. And I think the big one for you was like Philly covering the 6.5-point line that we picked.
Did we have 6.5?
It was 6.5.
It cost me my actual bet, that fucking second field goal, because I had 5.5 on my multis.
Yep.
There you go.
We were at 6.5, and I think it settled lower than that. So I thought I was fine. And I looked and I'm like, wait, fuck, we had 6.5. Shit. That was probably the big swing game for me. Yep. And yeah, else it would have been obviously, 5-8, and I wouldn't have looked so bad. Yeah. But worst week of the year for me there. And I don't think, in terms of actually like betting, I did fine over the weekend. So it sort of goes to show that last week's picks were a bit squirrely. Dallas, Tennessee. We're going Tennessee. They're 10.5-point underdogs. I've gone Tennessee just because it's so many points and Dallas are kind of like, whatever. This is one of the ones where I might look back and go, I might have to change it. Gaz, just a heads up before Friday, because I will write a preview for this game for the paper and the site. And it's like, as soon as I dive into it, I'll be like, oh no, Tennessee got no chance. They're going to get killed by 20 because they're not going to be able to score any points. Right,
that's what it's come down to for me. I like that.
To be honest, I might actually change it right now because I'm just. I Dallas. I gave them all the 2 seconds thought. Yeah,
they're just gonna run it hard with. It could be an entire ground game, but realistically, outside that, if Dallas get a lead, I just don't see putting it in Willis's hands is going to work.
Yep.
So I just don't think they can put up the points, and Dallas can.
Yeah, so, I feel you. So my pick there is Tennessee plus 10.5. I might actually just change that to Dallas because I can't see Tennessee keeping up offensively. So
and the other thing is Dallas have, once again, as we spoke about early, Tennessee have absolutely nothing to play for.
Yep.
Whereas Dallas have everything to play for.
Yep.
So
Dallas need to win it. Tennessee don't give a shit. Carolina, Tampa Bay. We're both going Tampa Bay minus 3.5. This is a wildly important game.
Sure.
I
have absolutely no idea. Like, Carolina could just run it down their throat and it could be a repeat of the Lions game or it could be 13-10.
Yep.
I don't fucking know.
16-13, Tampa Bay. The 3.5 just kills you with Tampa Bay, right? Because they're barely covered all year and the half point is always just going to fuck you, but I don't know. I feel like there's just that one game that Tampa Bay are going to have to like uncork it at home and just beat somebody like 20-12 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's gross. Anyway, Washington, Cleveland. We've both gone Washington minus 2.5 just because Cleveland is shit and Washington's still playing for something.
They just still can't. Just still trying to work out where Cleveland are going to put up points if it's not from Chubb, right? And whereas Washington have got, you know, McLaurin. Dotson's coming on. They've got the two-headed run game. Even with Wentz throwing 15 picks, like he still can account for points.
Yep.
So I just think that that's enough to get Washington over this. Like to win on it. Like, no, I'm not even worried about the 2.5 points. I think they'll win on the nose.
Yep. Philly hosting New Orleans. Your guys, 6.5-point favorites. We're both going Philly because you try to get a read on New Orleans. Like,
yeah, well,
they could win this game, guys, and you wouldn't. You go, oh, yeah, makes sense, I guess. But
yeah,
I just trust Philly to be a bit better.
There's a lot up in the air this week. CJGJ is due. Gunnar Johnson is due back from IR. He had 6 picks before being injured for the last 5 weeks. Hurts is reportedly going to push to play this week. But there's a lot of who the fuck knows for us. But even still, like, I think I would still put Gardner. I think the 6.5 is tough with Gardner, but I still think we'd win, and I still hope that we will close out the number one seed this week.
Yeah, I just can't trust the Saints. No. Arizona, Atlanta, we're both going the Cardinals, just because Atlanta stink. Arizona, at least.
Anything from Ritter that makes me think he can put points up. Yeah. Right now, right? Maybe a different story next year, but right now.
Arizona, my reasoning for this is that they're all trying to save their jobs. So,
fair.
Jacksonville at Houston. I've gone Jacksonville -4.5. Again, a game that doesn't matter because they play Tennessee in week 18. I just think they're still way better than Houston anyway, and they're going to Peterson will just be like, nah, we're going to fucking win this. Shut up.
So,
away they go.
I will cast your mind back to the game that caused the tanking game that caused a whole bunch of controversy where nothing to play for and Peterson dragged everyone. And that fired up a lot of Giants fans. I could honestly see him doing the same thing here with guys like Etienne and just not risking them.
I think this is a different proposition though, right? Where you've got a bit of momentum rolling and you just want to sort of keep the guys out there doing their thing, and Jacksonville still just smoke Houston because they're not good. Detroit over Chicago, 4.5 points. We've both gone that because Chicago stink. Detroit are good. They need to keep winning. That's pretty simple, I think. Miami at New England. You've actually picked the Pats. I've gone the Dolphins. This was just a Tua, if he's in the concussion protocol still, I want my 2.5 points for Miami. Thank you. If he's not, I'm changing it. So
that's the massive caveat on mine. I want a massive asterisk here that this gets changed instantly depending on whether Tua is playing or not.
Simple.
Right.
I like it. Yep. KC over Denver, 12.5 points because Denver is shit. Fuck him. Giants, Indy. Giants are 3.5 point favorites. Giants, I don't like giving the other team points when it's a Giants game. It stinks and I don't want to trust it. But Indy is so bad. The Giants need to keep winning to have a shot.
They got something to play for, right? And
especially at home. Seattle hosting the Jets. We're both gone Seattle +2.5, which was a chaos. Look,
Mike White's back. Supposed to be back. Yeah.
But this is Geno Smith against his old team. Pete Carroll against his old team. They're going to fucking try to go scorched earth on this Jets team. Like, the amount of times we've seen the Jets play in Seattle as well. Like, it's a weird uniform matchup, a uniform combo. And I reckon the last couple of times this has happened, I've watched the shit out of it because it just sort of sticks in the mind. You got the weird two different colors of green, the whites and all that sort of shit. Yeah. I kind of love it. I think Seattle fucking kill the Jets. Like, the Jets defense, it's really, really good. Then why the fuck didn't do anything against Jacksonville last week?
I was going to say, it did not help. Yeah.
Tough. So we're both going Seattle +2.5. Yep. Niners over Vegas, 5.5 point favorites. That seems a squirrely line because Vegas stink and the Niners are great. So this is a case of the Niners, if they keep winning, like they've still got a 2 seed to play for, right? Against between them and the Vikes. So they need to keep winning. Well, 5.5.
They can still play for the 1, depending if
the Eagles fall apart. Lose.
If Hurts doesn't play this week, and let's say there is rumors he's not back until the playoffs, right? Giants have all to play for in the last week. We still might end up with a wild card. So they definitely have to come out hard. All of these teams come out hard. So,
yep. Niners win that one. Green Bay hosting Minnesota. I've gone Minnesota +3.5. They won in week 1. Green Bay. Minnesota definitely lose this by 3. So they cover.
I don't like this at all because Green Bay do this every fucking year, and Minnesota do this every year where they, you know, snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And I just want to have the confidence in Green Bay over nothing other than tradition. But I think both teams are fucking terrible. So
I actually really did Green Bay with that because I've got a great bet of the exact order of the NFC North. And it's Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago. So Green Bay need to win this. I'd really like to... I picked Detroit playing Chicago here. But then they play each other in Week 18. So really need Green Bay to win. But I'd really like the Vikings to cover. Chargers, Battle of LA. LA Chargers, LA Rams. Rams stink. Chargers minus 6.5. We've both done that because even if they slow down and... Just rest some dudes. They'll still kill them. Pittsburgh, Baltimore. This is the Sunday night game at the moment. I've gone Pittsburgh plus 3.5 just because I just don't like this Baltimore offense. And I think Pittsburgh might just hang, maybe. So plus 3.5, I'll take that.
I've got a similar caveat to the asterisk on this versus...
a caveat to an asterisk.
Of Lamar training this week. They're like, oh, we'll have to see whether Lamar trains this week. About whether he plays. I'm like, and to be fair, the coaching staff for the Ravens have been doing that for 3 fucking weeks.
Yep. I love
so,
it.
So, yeah.
But still. Oh, it's an AFC. No, there's no love lost here, Gaz. So who had, what love? How did you lose it? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The last one, Buffalo Cincy. What a fucking cracker.
This is going to be a cracking game.
It's like, I mean, it kind of matters. Buffalo trying to make sure they win the one seed in the AFC. They're going to keep winning. KC are right there behind them. Cincy just need to keep winning to make sure they clinch the AFC North because Baltimore are right there behind them. I've gone Cincy plus 0.5. You've gone Buffalo minus 0.5. So basically a head-to-head pick.
Yeah, that's literally it. I know it's in Cincy. It's just... I don't know. I just have a little bit more faith right now in this Buffalo team. I don't know why.
This was literally the pick that I think I went back and forth on the most out of all of these. It's like literally the last one. And I'm like, oh, hang on a second. Oh, wait. Ah, no, wait, no. Ah, fuck it. Bring us home, Smoking Joe. And why not? Because they're at home. I'll take the half point.
Yeah.
There you go.
The half point. That,
and you've gone Buffalo.
Yeah.
Now the Super Bowl favorites, the old Buffalo Bills as well, $5 compared to $5.50 for KC or Philly. So week 16, I went 4 of. Gaz went 9 of, 8 into the lead, but I'm still up 121-107 for the year. So,
just saying, we got
2 more weeks. We've got a few different, but to be honest, 2 of those might change anyway, right? Dallas and New England. So, anyway,
I think we're both in agreement. About
those games, but we've
what
just
happened,
written
which direction it goes depending on starting quarterbacks.
Yep. All right, there you go. That's it. Week 16. Man, can you believe that? 2 more weeks of the regular season to go. That breaks your heart, doesn't it? Jesus.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, but remember, we'll take you all the way through the playoffs, through the Super Bowl. That's what we do here in NFL, at NFL Australia. We'll have our Super Bowl party. Details to come. Rest assured, it'll probably be the same as we've done the last couple of years. Just saying. Might be bigger. Might be better. Might have more sponsors. Yeah. We don't know yet. Either way, check us, follow on the old Facey, Twitter, IG, all the good shit. Fang us a rating review on your old podcast app. That's what you need to do. The stars. The stars, Gaz. Give us some stars.
Help brother out.
Star us, you motherfuckers. Big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule. And get around NBA Australia. That's a good NBA show. A couple times a week at the moment. We'll be back daily in the new year. # spoiler alert. Get around CodeBet. It's a very good website. You can see me in the paper every day. What else? Fox Sports Lab NBA. That's good. Gaz, and the plug?
Me, just get around Eagle Australia. Lots of getting as much content out there as we can. Just, just building a little bit of a community around people digging and all suffering through painful losses on the Christmas. We ruined Christmas Day. So, anyway, good times. Apart from that, you'll probably see me at your local pub with the footies on over the Christmas break.
Like it. The vibe of losing on Christmas Day, it sucks, but at least you're not there. Like, that's the toughest one. When you're there on Christmas Day and your team loses, fuck that noise. So, pour one out for all the Miami fans this week. And, Yeah, tough. Anyway, all right, that's it. Dunskies, heading into week 17. What a world. Wow. It's still weird to think about that. Go, week 17, it's the last week. No, we've got two more.
Yeah. Shh.
Thanks a lot, Goodell. All right, anyway, we'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See yous. Later.